You know, our God is a mighty Father, and there was a press in my heart to search out what He wanted for this night. And I went to different places because He kind of gave me a word about this, and He gave me a word in another corner, and you know, sometimes nothing settles, it's just all over the place. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it's just everywhere. And I had no clue until about maybe 10, 15 minutes before it was time to leave that I knew what He wanted. So if you'll bow your heads with me, I'll agree. That let His Holy Spirit take these words that He showed me and that He brought forth into me, that they may be delivered into the hearts of these that are here and those that will be listening on the internet. Lord Jesus, that You would just, by Your Spirit, touch and prepare them for Your glory. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. These are the words that I heard. Self is so visible today. And it's not about me, and it's not about you, it's about Him. And I said, okay. How many have problems with self once in a while? Thank you. We've talked about this before, but I think what happens is we kind of lose track. We run back. We go back. We lose the gist of the moment. The anointing is there for a moment. We lose it, and we have to go run back. So I thought I'd give you a couple of scriptures that might shake your tree a little bit, okay? That's, by the way, a cedar of Lebanon tree, not just any tree. Got it? Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which I want by all means, and whichever way I can get it, I'm going to get it. Kim's version. Not the Holy Ghost's version, but that's... And much of the church today is in a... satisfying the self mode. If you come to church, I'll fix all your problems. If you come to church, you'll have somebody there that will get rid of all your pain, all your problems. You'll never have another problem as long as you live. Just accept Jesus and everything is going to be wonderful.
And then you don't need to come to church again
to
have another problem.
Needless to say, I bought it. I wanted to get rid of my problems. What I didn't realize is that when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, that all hell break loose. The enemy showed up that I never knew was there. He was right there instantly trying to antagonize me, bug me, and whatever. Of course, I didn't have the oil from Lebanon then. So I... got bugged quite a bit. But the scripture really doesn't say it's all about me. It says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus. That means the anointing of the Lord. To do good works which God prepared in advance for me. Now, who's got the Amplified? Peggy, you want to release it?
But we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined.
God predestined.
planned beforehand.
Planned beforehand.
For us.
Just for me.
Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time.
Huh? Do you really mean that? Taking a path he prepared ahead of time?
That we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live.
Oh my God, I don't know if I like the Amplified Version. It's even more difficult to digest. Why? Because when I'm looking to the Lord to complete me, so that I can complete what he wants, sometimes there's a little guy that sits on my shoulder and he says, uh-huh, and when is it going to happen? I mean, you've been following this Jesus all these, could be months, years, okay? Could be more. And you still don't get it right. And you still haven't got. And then he gives you a list of what you don't have. How many have heard his list? If you've heard his list, put your hand up right now, because you need to be aware that his list is seemingly endless. Okay? And as he continues to pressure you, well, then, you know, if God is really God, then he would give me what I want, so that I can complete what I desire. And I heard someone say the exact same thing, and I just said to the Lord, oh, I'd love to give them a great big plug for their mouth. And the Lord says, well, what about your own? So you see, I have the same problem as the rest of you. I'm still waiting for the Lord to finish his good plan and then to bring it to pass. You say, you've got it made, Kim. Really? I got my sneakers off over there. If you want to try them on for a couple of weeks, let me know. Because you see, all of us are being prepared by him for doing good works for him. It's not about me and you. It's about him. So it's easy to say it's all about him. It's easily spoken that I'm doing everything for him. And about, well, what about me, me, me? And me, me, me gets left behind most of the time because it's really not about you. It's about completing what he's preparing you to become so that you can be a vessel in order to complete a journey. And I'd like to kind of give you some little tiny bit of insights. There was a man named Moses, kept alive by a miracle. And his act didn't start till he was 80. Can you figure it out? 40 years of all about Moses. 40 more years learning about it's not about you. And then he was ready. And he didn't want to go. Are you sure, God? I can't talk. I mean, I could take you there in Genesis, but I think you've got the gist of where I'm coming from. And I remember when my mother turned 80. And I teased her because she was upset. Not at the 80. It was the 81 that bugged her. She says, 80 wasn't bad. The birthday party and all the friends, and it was wonderful. But the one. She says, you know what happens? Between 1 and 9, it goes so fast. And by the way, she just turned 90, so she's letting me know it's going fast. It's going fast. And God is using her, and she doesn't even see it sometimes. And I get excited about how she responds to different people. And some of her family members don't know the Lord that well, and so she'll plug them up. So your mother at 90 can plug them up. She had a good long talk to her baby sister. She's 83. She was in a convent for 40-something years, and she's giving my aunt lessons about the Lord. So at 90, she feels she's got nothing to lose. You lie. My aunt, you know, she's a wonderful woman, but she loves the Lord under servitude. She didn't understand the relationship that is so much a part of Mom's life. Mom hears from the Lord. She gets visions from God. She gets visitations. I mean, she'll come in, she'll tell me things that have happened, and, you know, she's usually ahead of schedule, and that's kind of the way I like it. So don't underestimate what he's going to do with you. Don't underestimate what he can and will do for you. Because, you see, he is a double blessing father. While Moses was watching the Israelites leaving Egypt, who do you think had a tremendous high when the ocean opened up? Yeah, he did. But what about when he was standing there saying, what am I going to do with these 2 million people? And he finally remembered they were his. And what are you going to do with your people, Lord? How are you going to manifest the next level for your people? That was my question today. Lord, what are you going to do for your people? What are you going to do with this house of prayer? You created this house of prayer. Or was it a figment of my imagination? Did you have an impact in my life when I was in Israel? Did you really form this house of prayer to change New England? Now, if you did, then I don't know how you're going to do it. But as far as I'm concerned, have your way. Because you see, I can't perform to the juggler. I can't rotate over here to make everybody happy. Because if I tried, I would miserably fail. And besides, if you're looking at me, you got a problem. You got to start looking at him. And you got to start looking at him inside of you. Because he's preparing each of us for good works that he has prepared. Not good works that you have prepared. And if you've been preparing, get a clue. This scripture can be reminded of him, and he can be reminded of that word anytime, and he will not resent it. God, you prepared a work for me. I'm expecting to be prepared, and I'm not going to come out short. I'm not going to come out unable, because you'll enable me. You are the enabler to give me power to make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor. Say, you're under construction. All right. That doesn't mean you got it all right, but you're under construction. Amen? Okay. Now let's go for another little ride. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Now, here's our Savior, okay? And he's kind of walking along. And I kind of like to start at verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So they want to blame somebody. Do you ever want to blame somebody for something? Yeah, me too. Here's our wonderful master and his word. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. So there goes plan A and B. Right? Said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God's might or power be displayed in his life. Have you got a problem that you can't solve? How many of you have got a problem you can't solve? How many have several problems they can't solve? Thank you. Then you qualify. Okay, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, because if it's not the same version, I don't want to be mixy. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I'm excited about your response. It was not this man's sin that caused blindness. But it happened so that the work of God's power and his might
be displayed in his life. And what's going on with me right now is to display your power and might. Down the road somewhere. I don't know which day. I don't know which month or year. But I know you've got a plan to set me free. And you're not going to get glory if I don't give it to you. So I'm thanking you now for the hardship and the problems. Because you've got a plan to deliver me. So that I can do your good works. As you have prepared them just for me. And if I don't know what they are yet, I'm going to open my ears. And I'm going to open my heart. And I'm going to let you do it. Amen. Verse 4. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So, again, verse 4. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him. So, he's giving us an example that he wasn't doing this to please himself. He was doing it to please the Father. The Father had prepared a path for him. You say, well, I want to be like Jesus. How many of you have ever sang, I want to be like Jesus? Yeah. Well, how is he going to prepare you for crucifixion? But through hardships and little trials, so that you can become an overcomer. Amen? Amen. You want to be an overcomer? You've got to have something to come over. Amen? I like Gail's vision, by the way. I'm asking him to just drill a big hole through that mountain of human obstacles. Because that's where I was today. Zechariah. That big mountain of human obstacles can be removed, and he can drill right through them. But sometimes I really wonder if he really, is doing it. Because my brain gets in the way. I don't know about you, but my brain has lots of power. And my soul got lots of ideas, and they're not all God, they're not all good. Okay? So, let's go a little bit further. I want you to I lost my place. Will you forgive me?
Yeah.
Good. That's good. Because that way there you'll be forgiven in the same way you forgave me. See? Okay. Chapter 10, verse 25. John, chapter 10, verse 25. Now, we're going to back it up to 22, because he's talking about the unbelief of the Jews. Well, I've got news for you. I sometimes have unbelief too, and I ask him to get rid of it for me. I struggle with that. Unbelief is not a very nice friend, although he hangs out once in a while. Then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Ouch. Ouch. Does that imply that when I'm in unbelief, that I am walking away from the shepherd? Yeah. So maybe I should run to him when I get these kind of ideas about unbelief. I should really make an effort to run towards him, to have him redo me, or renew me, or recreate the part that's falling apart. How many know you can't do such a good job when you're doing all the construction work yourself? The Lord showed me that in the house of God, His saints have abilities. And as I was studying today, I was reminded that in the body of flesh that you and I have, we have multiples of different parts with multiples of different talents. I love to scratch with my right hand, especially when the left arm is itchy. Okay? Try scratching your left arm with your left hand. See how well you do. Yeah. You need a pole or a wall or something. In the body of Christ, I believe in the days ahead and in the months and years ahead that the body is going to start functioning the way it was designed to function. And instead of looking to me for what God is going to provide when you come to church, look at your neighbor. Say, He's going to use you. Why? Why? Why is He going to use the different members in the body? Yes, Pam? Fivefold ministries, yes. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, all of them. And then the ministry of helps. Yes. And the deacons and all the members in the house of the Lord are going to be important for the house of the Lord. I teased you guys a couple weeks ago, was it? When I talked about the baby shepherds? Yeah. And of course you teased me back, right? Which is fine. But the bottom line is, God wants to use every single member. And He says, are you ready? I had a friend of mine. We had quite a long talk about why can't I hear like you hear? That was his question to me. And I began to giggle because the gift of hearing was given to me through no fault of my own. And it's not talking about physical ears, we're talking about spiritual ears. And the prophet of the Lord that some of you would remember, the very first time he prayed over me, that's what he said, that I had these humongous ears. And my wife looked at him and thought, yeah. She had no clue what God was doing. And I held that in my heart for a long, long time. It was confirmed a couple of times over, but the most comical one came when I was in Canada at my niece's house and her 5-year-old little boy. I had had supper at their home, and he says, Uncle, I have a picture I want to draw for you. And so he goes to his coloring section, and he's got these color crayons and his papers, and he puts them on the table, and he sits next to me, and he starts making this scene, and he's got a little church, and he's got a cross on the church. And then he's got a car. He created that. And then he made a stick man, which was me. And then he put these huge Mickey Mouse ears on it. And his mother got all upset. And she says, oh, come on, she says, that's not your uncle. And so he said, yes, it is. And so his father piped up and he says, and who showed you that? And this 5-year-old goes, and I said, don't reprimand him because he's confirming something that I already know, that I will hear. So you see, in the little ones are hidden talents
Now, he didn't say Jesus said to me. He just pointed to the heavens, meaning, hey, I know who told me this. I had a vision, and I'm just letting you know what it is. And I'm holding on to that paper. Why? Because it's precious in my sight. Because no man could have given that information to him. Now, he put these wonderful Mickey Mouse ears on me. So I'm hoping that one of these days I'm going to get one of those Mickey Mouse set of ears, and when I go visit, I'm going to bring him or wear them, if he remembers. So what am I saying to you? The body of Christ needs to hear. Visions. Dreams. Words of knowledge. You need them. You're not going to get them till you ask. You say you're angry? No. I'm trying to wake you up. Unless you ask, you get what? Nothing. So knock on his door. Amen? Knock on the door. And then you say, oh, well, if I do get a vision, what am I going to do? You're going to give it out. Even if you do it wrong, we'll love you anyway. Even if you make a mistake, you're going to what? Take a chance. You're going to give out what you get. Because as you give out, you will practice and practice, and finally you will what? Perfect that which is given to you. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes, you will. Do I make mistakes? Absolutely. Do I know how to repent? Yes, I do. And so will you. Why? Because it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to attempt to do something because you at least tried. If you say, I can't, you've just stifled yourself and you have locked yourself away so that that which is designed to be a part of the body will not function out of you. How would you like to have a crippled leg? And you'd walk around with a crippled leg. Well, that's part of what the house of prayer is. Some of you are not doing your work. You're not giving out. You're holding in. And if you're holding in, the body is crippled. Now, does that mean that I'm going to reprimand you? No, but I'm giving you understanding. Every single member has a gift. And they're not supposed to be duplicates of each other, even though they might be. So be aware. If you don't ask, you get what? So, if you knock, you'll get. And as you become more and more proficient, the Holy Spirit will give you more. You know, that's how he works. He's loving you, and he wants you to become successful with this. Because you know what? The body of Christ is going to grow either with you. It's up to you. All right. Again, let's go to verse 38. Here our Savior is responding again. Maybe go to 33, which might help. We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you are a mere man claiming to be God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, which is a good promise from the word of the Lord. What about the one whom the Father sets apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. Verse 38, but I do it even though you do not believe me. Believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. I remember the very first miracle that the Lord provided for me was really proof of his ability to use even me.
I remember getting a little tiny bottle of oil and being told to pray by the Lord. It was an experiment. Did you ever have an experiment? Okay. I had a ganglion on this hand. It was about yay high at the time, which would be about maybe a little over half an inch in height on the outside of my hand. And every time, being a furniture dealer, every time I went through a doorway or tried to carry something through a door or go along the wall or something, it would just literally rip open, and of course you'd have blood everywhere, and it was a wonderful test. And I had an elderly gentleman that worked with me, and he didn't believe in miracles. And so he went to church every week, and so did I. But I had decided that I was going to test God's word. And in Psalm 103, it says, He forgives all my sins and He heals all my diseases. So I know it by heart. It's Psalms 103, verses 4 and 5, I believe. So every night before I went to bed, I anointed that little ganglion. And I would pray in the Spirit over my own hand. You say, it doesn't say to do that. Well, I was the one that was sick. So why should I wait for somebody else to pray? You got a sick spot? Attack it. Ask the Lord when and how. Ask Him the which promise that He wants you to use. If you want to use Psalm 103, you're welcome to it. It's a promise for anyone. So every day, I would see it decrease. And every day I went to work, this gentleman that worked for me would be more irritated. And after 6 weeks, you can still see there's just a hair left on the top of the hand here that you can see. There's a little indentation and the other one doesn't have one. And I said to the Lord, how come it's not all going away? He says, I'm leaving you a little miracle so that you can verify I did it for you. Because it was bigger than my knuckle. It was way out here. So, after 6 weeks, this man is now so irritated every time he sees my hand that I'm seeing the unbelief in him. And I want to tell him about Jesus more and more. And the more I want to tell him about Jesus, the harder it gets. He is now so irritated with me, he doesn't even show up to work. And I know it inside, but this is brand new to me. I'm actually probably at that time maybe 2 months in the Holy Ghost. So he didn't wait a long time for the miracle. It started within a couple of weeks. But the bottom line I'm trying to give you is, why wait? Why wait to use the tools you have? Why wait to start praying for your neighbor? Why wait? So that you can be perfect? Don't look at me. I'm not going to perfect you. But I know the one who will. The miracles that will follow you will prove that the Father is alive inside of you by His Spirit. That's bottom line. So, would you close your eyes, please? Father, this night, You have declared us to be Your sons and Your daughters. And I believe that the unbelief has been definitely exposed. And the fear of being used also exposed. So if you have either one of those troubling you, would you put your right hand up in the air, please? Don't look around. Say, Lord Jesus, with me.
Lord Jesus.
Right now. I reject the unbelief.
And I ask You to help me with it.
I want it out of my heart. And the fear tactics that are trying to come in, telling me I'm not good enough, I renounce in Jesus' name. Father God, I am ready. Invest in me what I'm going to need to be a real, genuine part, a usable part in the body of Christ.
and the glory will go to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And amen.